Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 4 from Canto 5, Chapter 12. Yad aha yogeshwara drishyamanam. Priyapalam sadhyavahara mulam. Nahyanjasa tatva vimarshinaya. Bhavanamushmin brahmate manome. Yadaha yogeshwara drishyamanam. Priyapalam sadhyavahara mulam. Nahyanjasa tatva vimarshanaya. Bhavana mushmin brahmate manome. Yet that which aha have said, yoga ishvara. O master of mystic power, drishyamanam, being clearly seen, kriya palam, the results of moving the body here and there, such as feeling fatigue, sat existing, yavahara mulam, whose basis is etiquette alone, na, not, he, certainly, anjasa, on the whole, or in fact, tatva vimarshanaya, for understanding the truth by consultation. Bhavan, your good self, amushmin, in that explanation. Brahmate is bewildered. Manaha, mind. May, mind. So, to be clear from the translation, the person speaking is the king, Rahugana. Rahugana is speaking to Jad Bharat, who he's referring to as Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara is the name of Krishna, but when Krishna can give power to somebody to be a good yogi or master of mystic yoga, Yogeshwara. And the reference, this is the beginning of chapter 12, it's referencing teachings that Jad Bharat gave to the king in chapter 11, and he's asking for refinement of understanding because he went over his head. Now he's saying back something, all of this is what he understood him to say, and at the end he's saying, what you said in chapter 11, it bewilders my mind. So can you please explain it? That's what's going on here. So in translation, O master of yogic power, you said that fatigue resulting from moving the body here and there is appreciated by direct perception, but actually there's no fatigue. It simply exists as a matter of formality. By such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth because of your presentation of this statement. My mind is a little disturbed. Brahmate. Purport, short purport. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conception do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that the pains and pleasures experienced in relation to the body are temporary, semicolon, they come and go. One should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. Jant Bharat in chapter 11 was speaking from the highest platform. And the conventional platform is not usually where we speak from. The conventional platform is not usually from the highest platform, but he's speaking the highest platform. And he's chastising the king in a variety of ways. Basically, you're in Maya. You think in terms of you're the king and I'm the servant, and therefore you demand a certain regard from my position as the king and from your position as the servant. And he goes into this whole explanation. That's not who we really are. Not who you really are. Not who we really are. In fact, Jant Bharat previously was the king. Now, anyway, so these designations of identity, we have a common word that we use in our ISKCON vernacular, and that's upadi. Sarva upadi vinir muktam tat paratvina nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchite. So many of you know the verse. Vinir muktam, mukti. You, by getting liberated from or becoming freed from the misidentification with upadis. Upadi means a designation, or even specifically, I learned this from Jiva Goswami, in explaining Mayavad doctrine, which relates to this. The classic of upadi is like a pond or a lake that's an upadi on the land, because there's a land beneath the lake. What's supporting the lake is the land or the earth. And over here, there's a pond or a lake, but the pond or lake is an upadi, it's a imposition upon the earth. So actually it's earth, but we're seeing the lake or the pond, and so it's a pond. And the pond could dry up, and then it's temporary. May last for some time, may last for a long time, but it's temporary. So what the basis and support of the lake is the earth. So lake, that nomenclature, is an upadi. Now, Mayavadis take that definition of upadi and say everything is resting upon Brahman, and everything that's an upadi is false. You know, they just dismiss it. It's false. Now, Vaishnavas don't do that. Krishna doesn't do that. But it is, it exists, but it's asat. Asat means temporary. Nasate vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate sataha. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Same as the reference in the purport to a second chapter verse. A tattva darshi, a seer of the truth, what the verse says, is they give importance to sat. And that's what Jant Bharat is doing. He's a tattva darshi. He's a perfected being. And he's giving importance to sat. Who the king really is and who he really is, what's, you know, reality with a capital R. And if there's something else, it's in this covering category, upadhi category, or asat, not who we really are. So now, if the body, the king, or the servant of the king, is not who we really are, it follows that the I follows mine, the pains and pleasures of the body. It's also not mine, or it's not connected to who I am. It's asat. It's insubstantial. Now, the translation reads that Judd Bharat said, the king said that Judd Bharat said, that when there's movement of the body, kriya is activity. And kriya palam is the fruits of activity. And fruits of activities such as fatigue. So fatigue is appreciated by direct perception. We feel tired. But actually there is no fatigue. We perceive, and you can take anything of this world. Here's a chair. I'm sitting in the chair. Don't tell me I'm not sitting in the chair. Well, you're not sitting in the chair. Excuse me. So in conventional terms, I'm sitting in the chair. But for conventional terms only. But in reference to the absolute truth, it's asat. And that's what's being said here. Sat, so second line, kriya palam, sat, vyavahara mulam. So vyavahara is a mula, we know. Mula means root. And vyavahara means things like behavior or activities or affairs or dealings with asat. So the body is, as a result of the kriya palam, result of moving the body from here to there, sat vyavahara mulam. It's, we say conventionally, we say in, you know, everyday speech, I'm feeling tired. And we can see it. Oh, excuse me. We can experience being tired. And we're reporting honestly, I feel tired. But it's resting upon something else. It's resting upon sat. And that sat is the reality. And the other is asat. Now you see it, now you don't. Take some rest, the fatigue goes away. I'm hungry. Take some prasadam and the hunger goes away. Then you get hungry again. But so that's the nature of the material world. That's now the third line. Na hi anjasa. Anjasa means in fact. Then tattva vimarshanaya. Tattva, we know that word, is truth. That someone is searching for truth. Judd Bharat is helping the king to wake up and search for the truth. So you're in illusion. You're lulled by a misconception of life, the asat conception, and you're perceiving I'm the king and you're supposed to behave this way to the king, or otherwise I'll punish you. You'll be sorry. You're going to get it. But you're lacking knowledge. And you're lacking compassion. And you're unqualified. You really shouldn't be a king. You're falsely taking the position of king. Because you're not qualified, it is falsely taking the position. If you want to be king, designation-wise, then you need to be a rishi, rajarshi, not just a raja, but a learned fellow. And then you can be... give the citizens what they really require, transcendental life and transcendental knowledge and the means to achieve it. But you're puffed up, filled with this arrogance of I'm the king, that's asat. So Jat Bharat is asking, King Rahugana is asking, can you go over that again? Because Brahmate, B-H-R-A-M-A, it's one of the four defects of conditioned souls. It means illusion, or Prabhupada is translated as bewildered. Or in the verse, it's disturbed. I'm an illusion. Make mistakes. That's the meaning. Make mistakes. B-H-R-A-M-A. We make mistakes. So I made a mistake, but I don't quite get it to get on the other side of the mistake. But this is the speech of Jat Bharat, going back again to chapter 11, is to bring the king to the position of the knowledge of the absolute truth. That's the platform that Jat Bharat is on. That's the platform that he was speaking. And he understands the difference between conventional speech and transcendental speech. Now, and he also has some appreciation of the capacity of Rahugana, because otherwise he hasn't spoken anything his whole life to anybody. Deaf and dumb. Until he spoke to Rahugana. So he sees something unique in Rahugana, because Rahugana, hearing about the absolute truth, I know that you're feeling pain, but actually the pain doesn't exist. I know that you're feeling fatigue, but the fatigue doesn't exist. I know that you're feeling something, but it doesn't actually exist. You know, many people would say, just dismiss it. This is gibberish. You're a crazy fellow. But the king is very qualified. So he's able, and selectively, he's able to speak to the king so that he can elevate the king to the transcendental position, to knowledge of the absolute. So knowledge of the absolute in Upanishadic language is Brahman, or Sat, or Tat, or transcendence, or that which exists. And then there's other things. Now, if you're a Mayavadi, then you say they don't even exist. And if you're a devotee, then you say they're temporary. And we deal with the temporary, sitting in the chair. We have our bodily form, man or woman, and it's, you know, different varnas and different ashrams based upon those coverings of who we really are. And it's not who, the other ones aren't who we really are. But we behave according to convention, according to proper protocol for our position. And disrespecting that or ignoring that is adharmic. It's a disturbance. Utpattayaiva kalpate, big disturbance. Although it's not who I am. And I know it's not who I am. Still I behave in a proper manner according to the covering, but it's conventional. Or on the basis of etiquette alone. Or vyavahara mulam. And all of that's resting upon sat. And sat is resting upon Krishna. That he says at the end of chapter 14. Brahmanohi pratishta aham. He's the pratishta of sat, or Brahman. And then other things are resting on Brahman. Ultimately resting upon Krishna. There's the soul. We're Om Tat Sat. We're of that absolute reality. That's who we really are. And the other is convention only, or etiquette only, or behavior, dealings, activities only. and then the experiences, pleasure and pain. So that's the final message here. In the purport, Prabhupada references Krishna's second chapter verse in Bhagavad Gita, that these duality things, feeling honored or dishonored, or pleasure or pain, or hot or cold, it's winter and summer season, it's something that you tolerate. You don't, you address, it's cold, you wear a jacket, etc. If it's warm, you don't bundle up in a jacket. We behave appropriately for the external circumstances of duality, but we don't identify with it. We identify with sat, and ultimately identify with being, for Vaishnav, an eternal servant of Krishna. That identity has been forgotten. So while I'm dealing with the asat, I'm focusing on sat. I'm performing prescribed duties at the same time thinking of Krishna. Chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita. That's a nice lesson. It's not different than the message of Bhagavad Gita. It's just an expanded, like really expanded version of what's in Bhagavad Gita. In fact, it's expanded so with such complexity that Rahugana is now saying, can you do it again? And this is the last, now the next verse is Rahugana speaks. Excuse me, Jan Bharat replies. And it's a long, detailed reply. Meant for detachment from the temporary and attachment to sat. Nasate vijate bhavo, no bhavo vijate sataha. Any discussion? Yeah.
In the translation, it says, by such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. And then the first two lines of the purport, Prabhupada explains that statement.
Which one?
Formal inquiries.
In the purport or the verse?
So in the verse, the translation, the statement says, by such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. And then the first two lines of the purport, I'm confused about these three lines.
Okay, I'll read it again. By such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. This is, he's repeating back what he understood Jan Bharat to say. So, identifying on the platform of asat, asking and inquiring about asat, you're not going to come to sat. Purport. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conception do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. Yes?
Is it
clear or not?
What is the meaning of formal inquiries?
Well,
formal.
Hey, how you feeling? How's it going? Great. It doesn't lead to the absolute truth. No, that's an informal one. You know, fill out a form. Make your application for a driver's license. So where are you? Informal, formal. Doesn't lead to absolute truth. Alright? Krishna. Anything else? Shravan. You always have something.
Maharaj, I couldn't capture the point you mentioned about tolerating the heat and cold, but at the same time acting appropriately. In terms of
well, you put a jacket on. I don't find happiness or distress. You know, the transcendentalist doesn't find happiness or distress if it's this or if it's that. That's not... The real standard of happiness is something else. So now it's hot, now it's cold. So I'll not invest consciousness in identifying with asat. I'll deal appropriately. It's not who I am, and it's not the nature of happiness or distress.
That includes turbulences also.
Yeah, the whole shebang. Everything is temporary. Somebody, you know, totals your car. You hit me.
Marge, I also have a follow-up question from yesterday. Is it appropriate to ask now or in the evening?
I don't know.
I was trying to understand in lines of your presentation you made. It was the Supreme Lord's desire to send Prahlad Maharaj to cultivate the devotional service.
To teach the way.
To teach the way of devotional service. And
a pure devotional service specifically, yeah.
With that desire of the Supreme Lord, many souls in the material world has become fortunate.
Yeah.
So the bhakti beginning is the desire of the Supreme Lord is what my thoughts were going on yesterday.
Why not? You want another option?
No, Marsh, I was just coming from.
Okay.
Thank you, Marsh.
It's a good option.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We are talking about the upadis in this verses.
Yeah.
Sometimes we know, you know, the knowledge about the absolute truth and...
Knowledge about which?
Absolute truth.
Absolute,
absolute truth. And, but still we are in a different category of our, in our life, like in ashram.
Yeah, sure.
So because of that, even though we know, sometimes we have to give importance to our upadis and, you know, execute
sure.
our
you
practical life.
You perform your prescribed duty. Perform your prescribed duty.
Yeah, so that means we are not ignoring.
That's correct.
It's correct.
Yeah. Not who you are, but you perform your prescribed duty.
Okay.
It's temporary.
Yeah. Since we are in that ashram, we are restricted to.
Yeah.
To do so. Dharma. We have no other way for.
When you become a transcendentalist, you don't ignore Dharma. Mm. You follow Dharma. Mm.
So just do the prescribed duty, so that is just doing the prescribed duty.
That's only part of it.
The part of, okay.
And always think of Krishna.
Okay. So I was remembering the sloka, Tashmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Ma Manusmira Yuddhacha. So it was like, you are referring to that type of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It was in the discussion yesterday evening, right? It's put on the screen.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Sure, Maharaj. Because we cannot totally ignore the upadis.
No one's asking you to.
Okay.
So don't whine.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
I know you do. I'm looking around to see if there's anyone else. Okay, go ahead.
Guru Maharaj, the point, Sarva Upadhi, which reminded me, Tattva Sandarbha Part 2. The pawn on the earth, it's just identifying as upadhi. While performing japa or any devotional activity, if this upadhi is carried, the receptivity is very low. It's like clouded even in the japa time. How do I cultivate more to align to be in the consciousness of, or in theoretically at least, I am the spirit soul, I'm trying to receive the holy name.
You follow Krishna's instructions to do so. Very simple. Krishna says, so I do. That's how to. And if the mind goes somewhere else, you bring it back. We're servants. And he's the master. And he says, so we do. Because he's the master and we're the servant.
I see. Thank you, Maharaj.
We take our spiritual position in relation with him. And he helps us. It's not just our effort. He helps us. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.